Well, good morning, everybody, and welcome. It's lovely to see you all. I'm Mark, and I'm the minister of Christ Church, Woking, if you don't know who I am. Now, before I begin, we have a couple of birthdays. We have, is Tirza here this week? Is she back? She's still in Wales, is she? She's still in Wales, so can't give Tirza hers. And we have Izzy's. Now, Izzy is too old to come up the front, because she's going to... But I shall pass it back to her. Thank you, Izzy. Well, happy birthday. Thank you, Hannah. Right, now, because I know you, I know that you are good at so many different things. Now, who is good at doing something? Who wants to volunteer something that they are good at doing? Right. I thought that might be the case. You're all too humble, aren't you? At least you are today. Right. Okay, so, who's good at sailing? Yes, Monica, very good at sailing. Who's good at ice skating? Anybody good at ice skating? Eloise is looking extremely embarrassed, Andervan, and as well, Courtney as well. Yes, very, lots of ice skaters. Right, who's good at playing music? Anybody out there? Oh, somebody over there, yeah, a few people over there, yeah. Well done, good, good, good. What else? Anybody good at maths? Oh yes, Mr. Interesting Maths Guy over there. Let me have it. So there's so many of us, isn't there, good at so many different things. That means we are very successful people, doesn't it? We have a real success because we're good at doing so many different things. And I could have gone on and on and on with good things that you're good at. And that's really good, isn't it? It's a good blessing from God to know that we are good at many different things. It's a real gift from God. But there's a but. And that's what we're going to come on to later. John.
Good morning. Today's reading is found on page 1050 of your blue Bibles. And we're actually going to start at Luke 16, verse 14. The Pharisees, who loved money, heard all this and were sneering at Jesus. He said to them, "You are the ones who justify yourself in the eyes of others, but God knows your hearts. What people value highly is detestable in God's sight." The law and the prophets were proclaimed until John. Since that time, the good news of the kingdom of God is being preached, and everyone is forcing their way into it. It is easier for heaven and earth to disappear than for the least stroke of a pen to drop out of the law. Anyone who divorces his wife and marries another woman commits adultery, and the man who marries a divorced woman commits adultery. There was a rich man who was dressed in purple and fine linen and lived in luxury every day. At his gate was laid a beggar named Lazarus, covered with sores and longing to eat what fell from the rich man's table. Even the dogs came and licked his sores.
Thank you, Kirsty. You are maybe wondering how we're going to turn that reading into an all-age service, so was I 2 days ago. Right, now, I need two volunteers, two small volunteers, please. And this week, there is chocolate involved. So, chocolate, two volunteers. Come on, I just need two of you. There is nothing terrible, nothing really embarrassing going to happen to you. Thank you very much. Come on then. Yep, come on, Josh. Come on. Well up. Good, thank you. That's got one. Yeah, round of applause for Josh. Right. Somebody come join Josh.
What?
I need somebody to come and join you.
Oh.
Yeah. No, but stand by Dan. Yes, that will do. Right, good. Right, a Hotchkiss is worth their weight in gold in this church. Thank you very much. Right. Okay, now, in this story, there are two men, aren't they, in the story that Jesus just told at the end of that reading. Now, one was very rich and the other was very poor. Okay, one had a big house, the other lived on the street outside. One had luxury clothes. Now, I thought, what luxury clothes can we give him? So I borrowed my son's Jack Wills hoodie. So Can we just put the black rules hoodie on, please, Josh? Thank you. Right. Okay, so he has a Jack Wills hoodie, luxury clothes. The other had sores. So I have a few sticking plasters for Dan. Here we go. Right, make sure I put these. You might have to do this yourself, Dan. Yeah. Yeah, that's lovely. Oh, you're looking great. Yeah, I know. It's good, isn't it? So he's got sores because he's so poor. Where's all the others gone? He looks blind. Right. Go on. You can stick some more on. That will keep you busy for a while. Right. Because you haven't got much to do in this part. Okay. So, now, one is given a name, this one, but this one has no name. This one's name is Lazarus, which in Greek means helpless. So here is helpless Lazarus. Who can't even get a sticking plaster packet open. It's a good thing it's not an emergency, isn't it? Right. So here he is, helpless Lazarus. He has no money. He can't work. He's very unwell. He can't do anything by himself, as we'll see. All he had was his body covered in sores. Oh, he had a few dogs as well. Who came to lick him? So you need a dog. There's a dog. Oh. There you go. He has a dog who comes to lick his sores. This one, on the other hand, has all that he wants in the world. He has Jack Wills hoodies. And no doubt, he would say that he was very blessed by God. A sign for you to hold. Thank you. Now, where am I? Oh, yes. Yeah. He is very blessed by God. Because that's what the ancient Jews believed, isn't it? If they had lots of riches and fine clothes, it was a sign of blessing from God. Now, so far, so good. This is where the but comes in. But, okay. Now, Jesus is telling this story to a group of Pharisees. Now, last week's story, if you remember, was told to a group of disciples, but the Pharisees were listening in. So does anybody remember what last week's story was about? This is the embarrassing bit where you've decided you can't remember what we talked about last week. Ellen knows. No, she wasn't here. No, you weren't, were you? Who knows? What's the parable about?
Money.
Okay. All right. You failed my test completely. It was about the dishonest manager. Do you remember that? Okay, the dishonest manager who was going to be sacked by his boss, and he realized his time was short, so he went to all his master's debtors and he let them off half the debt, okay? Because what he was trying to do is he was trying to make sure that his life after this job was going to be as easy as possible, to make friends, okay? And Jesus said, what you should be doing is investing in your eternal future. Life now is short, but eternity is very long. So use this life now to invest in your eternity life, in your eternal future. Now, he also told his disciples that you cannot serve two masters, didn't he? He said you cannot serve both God and money. We have to choose. Is God going to be our God, or is money going to be our God? So the Pharisees had been listening into this conversation. They had heard all that, but they still hadn't got it, because Luke here in verse 14 says, Luke says that the Pharisees loved money, but they also thought that they were blessed by God. Now, how could that be? If you cannot serve both money and God at the same time, how can money be a sign that you're blessed from God? Now, the Pharisees, and Josh is now going to become a Pharisee as well, also liked to keep God's law. I don't have all God's law on me at the moment. I do in the Bible, but not in scroll form. So I thought he could have a book of English law. How about that? There you go. So they loved keeping God's law. And they thought that they were very good at that, as you'll know. Now, they thought that God's law was something like this. And here I need two adult volunteers. Can I have two adult volunteers, please? Thank you, Brian. You count as an adult, right? Come around here. Come between these two. That's very good. I need another one. No? Yeah, thank you, Andor. Right, you can go the other end. Okay. Right. Okay, hold it down back here, somewhere like that. Right. Yeah. Getting that a bit high. That'll do. Right. So, the Pharisees thought that they were very good at keeping God's law. I'm walking into the mother of the speaker now. Where can I go? Where can I go? Over here. Right, I'll come back here. Right. And they thought God's law was a little bit like this bar that Andrew and Brian are holding. And they thought that they were very good at jumping over that. Josh, go and jump over it. Ah, very good, see? They're very good at that. In every area of their life, in their family life, in their business life, in their religious life, they were very good at jumping over this bar. Josh, jump. Very good. He can do it with a sign and a book. And therefore, because they were good at jumping over this bar, God loved them and he blessed them. Well, that's what they thought. Because actually, God's law was a very high standard, so high that nobody could keep it. Thank you very much. Josh, just jump over that bar, would you? That's cheating. And that's because of who God is. His standards are so high because God himself is amazingly, wonderfully good. And he wants us to be just like him. God tells us in the Bible to be perfect because I am perfect. We need to be perfect because God is perfect. So, God's standards are actually really high. And Josh, with his book and a sign in hand, can't jump over that bar. Now, that was a problem for the Pharisees because, as I said, they liked to think that they were very good at keeping God's law. But what they were actually doing is finding ways, a little bit like Josh just did, to walk around it. Not walk under it, but to walk around it. And they had many clever people, rabbis, who were prepared to spend their lives writing down new instructions on how to get around God's law, to make God's law more livable, more manageable. So with money, for example, they found ways of keeping God's law while still loving money. They thought as long as they were giving their 10%, their tithe, they were okay. Now, some others found the teaching on divorce very hard, which is why we get that little verse there on divorce. So some of the teachers of the law were saying, well, actually, yes, we do permit divorce, and it's actually very, very easy. You can divorce your wife if she spoils your evening meal. Well, one rabbi even said you can divorce your wife if you find another wife prettier than her. Which wouldn't help me, of course, because I have the prettiest wife. That's good, isn't it? And on the Sabbath, they tied themselves into knots, really, because first they made lots of additional rules that weren't really actually part of God's law. So it meant, God's law said that it should be a day of rest dedicated to the Lord. So they thought, well, clearly we shouldn't work then on this day of rest. What does it mean not to work? So they made up rules about how far you're allowed to travel, you're not really allowed to travel very far, and you weren't allowed to spend money or carry anything outside of the home. So, for example, they wouldn't be allowed to carry things back from Sainsbury's because that was outside of the home, you see. Now, all of this was a bit of a problem for even some Jewish believers today. So I was reading in the newspaper this week, and I came across this article that showed what a cunning plan they came up with in order to get around that bar, to get around these rules. And it's called an Erev. Now, if we have a slide. Yeah, there we go. Now, you can't really see it there, but between those lampposts, there's a little wire going along. In 1998, Barnet Council approved plans to erect this Erev in North London. And it's basically a boundary marked by that little wire going between the telegraph poles. And where there are no handy telegraph poles, they put up special telegraph poles to hold the little wire. And it actually makes a boundary, a perimeter of 11 miles in North London around Golders Green, Hampstead Green, suburb Hendon and Finchley. And what that does, that little wire going around those telegraph poles for 11 miles, it means that this big area within that becomes a private domain, becomes a public domain, and not a private domain. That means they can do all those things they're allowed to do inside the home on the Sabbath, but they can do it outside the home within the boundary of that little wire on the telegraph poles. Isn't that wonderful? It's genius, isn't it? Except, of course, it's not genius, is it? Because actually what that's doing is it's just trying to find a way round the pole, a way round the high bar of God's standards set by God. Now, Jesus in verse 16 calls it, Jesus calls that in verse 16, trying to force their way into the kingdom of God. They looked good on the outside, but God looked what was going on in the inside and found that all they were actually trying to do was find ways around the pole. And God looked on the inside and he said, that's horrible. I don't like the sight of that at all. They were trying to make themselves look good. So from now on, I'm going to give Josh a new name. Okay? He is going to be Mr. Self-Help Rich Man. Mr. Self-Help Rich Man. So over there we have Helpless Lazarus. And here we have Mr. Self-Help Rich Man. And verses 16 to 18, I remind us that God's standards are just as high as they always were. God doesn't want us to look for ways around the standards. He doesn't want us to make the laws more livable. But Mr. Self-Help Rich Man doesn't know that. He was proud to be rich. He was proud to have nice clothes and a nice house. He thought he had it made. He believed that he really had the blessing of God because life was so good. Mr. Self-Help Rich Man had helped himself into the kingdom of God, even though he loved money. And he did it by going around the law. And therefore, just like the Pharisee Jesus talked about in Luke chapter 18, we'll come on to that later on in this term, Jesus talks about a Pharisee who went into the temple and he says, God, I thank you that I'm not like other people, robbers, evildoers, adulterers, or even like this tax collector. And he was able to say that because he thought he had found a way around the rules. I fast twice a week and I give a tenth of all I get, he says. But he still loves money. That's Mr. Self-Help Rich Man. In contrast, Lazarus over there can't help himself at all. He was well and truly helpless. But Lazarus is a Greek name. Now, his Hebrew name would have been Eleazar or Elazar. Now, Ezar means help, and El means God's. So his name actually means God helps. God helps. And that's what gives us all a hope for the future, and that's what we'll be talking about in part two. Thanks very much. I'll need you two back again. Please sit down, and Kirsty will come and read the second part of our reading.
The time came when the beggar died, and the angels carried him to Abraham's side. The rich man also died and was buried. In Hades, where he was in torment, he looked up and saw Abraham far away with Lazarus by his side. So he called to him, Father Abraham, have pity on me and send Lazarus to dip the tip of his finger in water and cool my tongue, because I am in agony in this fire. But Abraham replied, Son, remember that in your lifetime you received your good things, while Lazarus received bad things, but now he is comforted here and you are in agony. And besides all this, between us and you a great chasm has been set in place, so that those who want to go from here to you cannot, nor can anyone cross over from there to us. He answered, Then I beg you, Father, send Lazarus to my family, for I have five brothers. Let him warn them so that they will not also come to this place of torment. Abraham replied, They have Moses and the prophets. Let them listen to them. No, Father Abraham, he said, but if someone from the dead goes to them, they will repent. He said to him, If they do not listen to Moses and the prophets, they will not be convinced, even if someone rises from the dead.
Thank you, Kirsty. And can I have Lazarus and Mr. Self-Help Rich Man back? Thank you. Great. Okay, so here we have, again, Mr. Self-Help Rich Man and Mr. Lazarus My God Helps, or God Helps, over there. And then Jesus carries on with the story, doesn't he? And in that story, they both died. Feel free to die. Very good. Thank you. But at this point, there's a big surprise in the story, isn't there? Because who's Mr. Blessed by God now? It isn't Mr. Rich Man Self-Help, is it? It's Mr. Lazarus God Helps. He's the one who is now blessed by God. He's the one who ends up in heaven being comforted by Abraham, whilst Mr. Self-Help Rich Man ends up in what Jesus calls Hades, which is the Old Testament term for the afterlife. And the rich man doesn't really believe what's happened. I mean, in this life, he's been used to getting what he wants, hasn't he? He's been used to being able to command others to do what he wants. So he calls out to Abraham. He's quite cheeky, isn't he, in the way that he does it? He calls out to Abraham. He says, "Hey, Father Abraham, have pity on me." And he says, "Send Lazarus over here to dip his finger in water to cool my tongue because of the agony that I'm in." But Abraham's not having any part of it, is he? He says, "But you've had your comfort. You've had your Jack Wills hoodies in this lifetime. Did you really invest any of it for your eternal life? Or did you just look for ways around God's law so that you could carry on loving money?" So now, Abraham says, it's time for Lazarus to be comforted. He can't help himself, but God helps him. Now, there's nothing in the story, is there, so far, to suggest that Lazarus had been a particularly good man. But that's grace, isn't it? Helping us even when we don't deserve it. God helping us even when we don't deserve it. All we have to do is admit that we need help and believe that God helps, which is faith. And in the story, Lazarus is comforted by Abraham, who the New Testament calls a hero of faith. And Abraham tells Mr. Dead Self-Help Rich Man, "Lazarus can't come over to you because there is no crossing over from this place to that. There's no second chance. We only have this life to decide that we need help and to believe that God helps." So Mr. Self-Help Rich Man had missed that chance. He'd always been so successful, hadn't he, during his lifetime, that he didn't really think... that he needed God's help. Still, Mr. Self-Help Rich Man is not giving up. So he says, "Then send Lazarus to go and warn my brothers. Let Lazarus warn them so that they won't come to this place of torment." Do you see how the rich man still wants to get his way? He wants God just to do that little bit extra for just for him. A little bit extra. A special favor. And that's always the way of religious people, isn't it? Who think they're really good. They think that God is going to do them that little extra favor. Just send a little warning. Just do something special for my brothers. And there's a real danger for us sometimes, isn't it? If you think about our friends and relations, who we want to know Jesus, and we say to God, "Well, just send them a little sign. Just send them something that's going to make them believe. Speak to them directly in some special way." And lots of people have said to themselves, "Well, if only God would do this little thing for me first, then I will believe in him." But Abraham has something interesting to say about that, doesn't he? He says, they don't need any warnings because they can read the warnings for themselves. They're there already, as plain as the day is light. Moses wrote about it. The prophets wrote about it. They all tried to call people back to God, says Abraham. And that's why it's so important for us to point people to the Bible, isn't it? Because that's where we find everything that we possibly need for salvation. That's where we find the words of Moses, that's where we find the prophets, and the greatest prophet of all, Jesus. And the really sad thing is that today many of our friends, either at school or at work, won't know anything at all about what is written in the Bible, will they? Hardly anything at all about what is written in the Bible. So it's down to us, isn't it, to teach people the Bible, to tell people Bible stories. It's down to us to not only read Bible stories of our own children, but to think about
who else we can talk to about Bible stories, whether that's in Sunday club or Friday club. We teach the Bible there, don't we? But people love stories, don't they? Even in everyday conversation, it might be possible for us just to tell somebody a Bible story that they may not have heard before. But Mr. Self-Help Rich Man, he still hasn't got it, has he? He's dismissed the scriptures. What help were they going to be to his brothers? They needed this. They still needed something special, something a little extra from God. How about a dead man rising from the dead and going back and warning them? How about sending Lazarus to go and warn my brothers? That will make them repent, he says. But the sad reply from Abraham is that, well, if they don't listen to Moses and the other prophets, they're not going to be convinced, even if somebody rises from the dead. And that's sad, isn't it? Because Jesus has risen from the dead. And yet people still don't believe. In fact, many people don't know anything about him. Hebrews 1 says this: in the past, God spoke to our ancestors through the prophets, and that many times and in various ways. But in these last days, he has spoken to us by his Son, whom he appointed heir of all things. That means that God, that Jesus is the object of all our scriptures. The whole Bible, from cover to cover, speaks about Jesus. God speaks to us in Jesus, because it's in Jesus that God helps us. Grace, people often call it God's riches at Christ's expense, don't they? And that's so true, because we are handed God's riches, God's blessing, because Christ died on the cross for us. Jesus was the only one who was able to meet God's standards right up here without finding any cunning ways to go around it. But Jesus still decided to go to that cross and die and take all of our sin upon his own shoulders, to feel the separation from God which we deserved, to feel that himself, so that we don't have to go through it at all. That's how God helps, through Jesus' death on the cross. And of course, Jesus did rise again to show that we can enjoy the same blessings that Lazarus enjoyed, the same blessings that Jesus enjoys now in heaven. So let us see that we by ourselves, we like Lazarus, are completely helpless. And yet we believe that God helps through Jesus. And let us put our trust in him and help others to believe too. Let's just have a moment of quiet, and then I'll pray, and then we'll sing again. Father God, we thank you so much that you help us. We can't do this stuff on our own. We can't meet your standards by ourselves. And yet Jesus did. Jesus met all those standards and more. He lived a perfect life for us. And he died so that we might enjoy the fruits of that personal life, and that perfect life. Lord, help us to remember that we are helpless without Jesus. Help us to give thanks for what Jesus has done. Thank you to remember and put our trust in Jesus all the days of our life and even through to our death. Lord, I pray that each one of us here would believe in Jesus and put our faith in him. Help us to share Jesus with others through the stories that we know. Amen.
Amen.
Amen. Thank you very much.